You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. It is Friday, February the 7th of 2025. The time is 9:07. Pleasant start here in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Fair skies, temperature of 6 degrees above zero. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up, we will be joined by Paul Micklick, talks of Wisconsin sports at 9:21. At the end of the hour, we'll have our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, celebrity birthdays, a whole bunch more, have our number for the day quiz as well. Getting towards the weekend, but quick note, again, starting at midnight tonight, going through 9 p.m. Saturday, a winter storm watch is in effect for the 98.9 WXCO listening area. Heavy snow possible, total snow accumulations between 4 and 7 inches, Marathon, Portage, and Wood counties from late tonight through Saturday evening. Travel could be difficult tomorrow, so be aware of that. Need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We are going to focus on you again at the end of the show. Have our number for the day quiz. You are 1 for 4 so far this week.
Yes, I am.
25%.
Not my best week, but I still have a chance to get a passing great this week.
Yep, because what we do is we give him three choices at the end of the show. Based on the math, he should get 1 out of 3 right. 33%. 25% is below 33%.
Yeah.
But if you get today right, be up to 40%.
Yes.
Which would be a passing grade. So it's all on the line today.
You'll
either have a passing grade or a failing grade.
Oh boy. What is the topic for today's number by chance?
The Eiffel Tower.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to Paris. It was a beautiful place, and I've seen the Eiffel Tower in plenty of pictures and lots of movies and TV shows, but never actually seen it in person. But it really is a beautiful piece of artwork.
No, absolutely. So the Eiffel Tower will be the topic for the number for the day quiz coming up later this morning.
So stay tuned, people. It should be an interesting number.
This morning, in fact, in the last 20 minutes.
Wow, that quick.
Came across a story. And it shows again why pushback is so important right now. The Federal Communications Commission, which obviously we have to deal with the FCC,
yeah,
and the federal government gives us a license to air on 1230 AM and 98.9 FM.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Federal Communications Commission has opened an investigation into a radio station's news coverage of the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. And this is outrageous. The FCC is investigating San Francisco-based KCBS for its coverage of immigration enforcement actions in San Jose last month, sparking concerns from press freedom advocates and drawing right-wing backlash to the radio station. Boo-hoo for the right-wing backlash. But the big thing is the FCC is investigating because a news station, a news radio station, is covering the news. In an interview on Fox News, of course, Trump-appointed Commission Chair Brendan Carr, who is a hack, said he opened the investigation after KCBS shared the live locations and vehicle descriptions of immigration officials on January the 26th. Carr, who is a mega right-wing lunatic, said, "We have sent a letter of inquiry, a formal investigation into that matter, and they have just a matter of days left to respond to that inquiry and explain how this could possibly be consistent with their public interest obligations." I would argue this is exactly what is in the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding government accountable. It's holding the Trump administration accountable. That is in the public interest. Getting on your knees and licking the boots of Donald Trump and Brendan Carr and everybody else in this administration is not in the public interest.
Nope.
It shows again why I feel better at the end of this week than I did at the end of last week. We saw protests around the country this week. We've seen elected officials say no more when it comes to rubber stamping Donald Trump administration officials and giving them the vote to allow them to be confirmed. We need to, again, keep the pressure on when it comes to the illegal activities of the Trump administration.
And there's no two bits around it, people. Don't try to sugarcoat this and tell us that it's not a big issue. These are all illegal things that should not be happening that these people are doing. And there is very little pushback, but thankfully people are starting to step up on this. And I've actually seen a few stories on Facebook this week of people are actually calling out Mr. Musk and saying that he should be arrested, right? Because he has no position and no reason to be in the White House at all. Oh. So people are standing up, but we can do more. I'll say that again, that we can do more. We can come together, stand up for each other, and fight these people.
And
people, not and, violently, but just...
You know, and we need some courage from those on the right.
Yes. Who,
if they truly believe in justice and law and order and everything else that they have claimed to over the years, they need to stand up and say, this is wrong.
Now's the time to prove it.
This is not right. And again, freedom of speech in this country. The Federal Communications Commission chair investigating this radio station in San Francisco. It's wrong. It's wrong on every single level. And this mm-hmm. guy, and if you, this Brendan Carr is just a political hack, and it's not surprising because that's basically the type that Mr. Trump has brought into his administration. They talk about DEI all the time, about bringing in the best and the brightest. Brendan Carr is not the best and the brightest. Sean Duffy is not the best and the brightest.
No.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not the best and the brightest. I mean, Marco Rubio is not the best and the brightest.
None of these candidates are qualified or even have the proper experience. President Trump chose them, and because they were in favor of him, they were able to, you know, try and help him with his image, and they were able to, you know, kiss his rings and basically say, well, if you protect me, I'll protect you no matter what happens.
And by the way, as they continue to search for staff and programs tied to DEI issues in every level of the government, it's time to point out the fact that this administration is racist to its core. The reason that they're going after DEI is because of racism. Bottom line, stop. Headline news right there. And folks need to stop sugarcoating it. DEI is not a program that will put unqualified people in air traffic control booths or put unqualified people anywhere in government. It is about giving equal opportunity to everyone. The idea that somehow Pete Hegseth is the most qualified, it's because of he's buddies with Trump and he was a Fox News guy. I mean, again, if you look at Lloyd Austin, the previous Secretary of Defense, compared to Pete Hegseth in terms of qualifications, there's no comparison. And yet, these folks have the gall to keep talking about that this is all about just getting the best people in there. No, it's not. It's about keeping people out of opportunities.
This is the whole point of why a DEI was created in the first place. It's not because for the people with power. It's not for the people with wealth. It's for...
It's about equal opportunity.
Diversity for all people of different races and different colors and different languages. Equality and inclusion. It's about including all people and not just the people that are powerful and rich. It's the people who have the experience, who have the open-mindedness, and actually have the hard work and the perseverance to do the job the right way. That's the whole point of this program. And now he's trying to, and now our president is trying to blame everything on it.
And it's not just Donald Trump. It's Robin Voss in the state of Wisconsin. It's Republicans down in Madison that have used DEI as a one of their basis of
scapegoat.
Basis, yeah, scapegoating everything. So again, I just saw this story a few minutes ago. Now going after radio stations for reporting the news. That is Trump's Federal Communications Commission. The time is 9:18. We're gonna take a timeout. Come back. Talk to Paul Micklin coming up. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Friday! Made it to a weekend. It's a holiday weekend for America. Super Bowl weekend. Coming up Sunday evening, KC and Philly for Super Bowl 59.
Big.
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 Talk some sports, joined by Paul Micklin. Let me ask you first, though. WIA changed a few things with football playoffs. What are your thoughts? Expanding the 8-player tournament to 32 teams to even up with the divisions, and then the seeding and the qualification changes. What are your thoughts?
It's always good, right? Change is always good.
It's good for not according to everybody.
Some people say change is bad.
Well, I really don't like change myself, but in this situation,
what a flip flop.
It's good for everybody involved, and you know, I'm just speaking for the eight man.
You get to start earlier now.
Start at the same time, and that'll be a good thing, and you'll get some good teams, some more teams in. Which they should. Again, this is a numbers game, and the numbers dictate that this is how it should be, and should have been. And so that was good. So they it sounds like when I was in Green Bay on Sunday, they talking to most of the big wigs over there. They were pretty confident all this stuff was going to pass pretty easily this week, and it sounded like it did.
What about the qualification aspects and the seeding aspects? Is that an improvement?
I mean, you're always got to – I don't know if there's going to ever be a perfect science for any of this stuff, to be honest with you. But with that being said, that you always got to try and change that stuff and try to tweak it and make it the best that they can possibly do. And sometimes – everybody is out for themselves at the end of the day. And the reality of it is that 9 out of 10 times, the best teams are going to, you know, are going to win. You know, the better team's going to win 9 out of 10 times.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Really? Like,
that's how this goes. I mean, that's how this goes.
That tends to be the case.
So if some reason you play them in a second round or a third round, does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, I think.
Yes, it does matter.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh. Back when it matters.
Back when I was young, they would have the playoff brackets set before the season started.
They could basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about football. But.
Well, yes. Yeah, because football, you have to actually qualify.
In your days, football, they only took the two top teams.
That's right. In fact, I think even my team may have been just the one team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane.
I didn't want to age you too much there.
I am ancient.
That was basketball. I'm not saying that there's not different ways and different things, but there's always going to be a hiccup. You know, there's always going to be where they place the teams is going to be important. If they're going to go just because they want location.
Well, we just don't want it to be make-believe.
Well. You do know that. I mean, some of it is going to be unresolvable. It's impossible.
I know there's not, but I mean, it's about making it better.
And that's what I think they did. Okay, That is my point to the whole thing was that they're
sending to Washington here the way you're speaking on the floor of the Senate here. You know, it's going to just get to the point here, man.
Wow, you know, this guy. I was listening to you guys on the way over here, and you know, I get depressed when I come over. This is supposed to be my fun time, and so
the FCC thugs are coming by after what I said. So I mean, enjoy it now.
Yeah,
sorry about that, Paul.
No problem.
I'll just be pointed at him. He's the guy that's in trouble, man.
Hey, always
haul him away.
Yeah, always blame somebody else. That's the best way to do it.
He's heading to Guantanamo right away after the show.
It's good. They listened the best they could. WFC is trying to do everything possible to make every school feel welcomed and fair as best as possible. And that's all you can ask for. And that it's not just these teams or those teams. But there is not going to be, and again, I'm going to go back to my first sentence, there's not an exact science to make it perfect.
Right.
'Cause if you want the best two teams in the state championship, right? Probably. I'm just saying.
No, I would. Yes.
That's your goal, right?
That would be my goal.
I'm sure that the WIAA wants to also make sure there's reputation from all over the state too.
Yep, yep.
You don't want to just make this one area. You know, if it's Central Wisconsin or Southern Wisconsin or whatever, that's what they're trying to get everybody else to get. So everybody is trying to do what's best for everybody as a whole. And well, I think that's what they did.
They just asked me. I could make it right.
They should. That's actually the problem. The problem is that they did not ask
exactly.
Chad. You know, You should get them on the show sometime.
There you go.
Why don't you get them on the show sometime?
I think that would be a good idea. I've talked to Stephanie Hauser previously.
Well, even and not just because a lot of this stuff comes from the association, and the association is where they're getting the they're trying to improve as much as anybody. Let's not kid ourselves here. So I would actually say I would be talking to somebody from the WFCA. That's what I would do if this was my show.
I'm going to write that down. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the big trades the Bucks made this week. The old big three is now down to the old big one. Because
you're talking about Holiday.
Yeah, because the original big three led to a championship, and now it's like peeling away. I want to get your thoughts on Chris going off to Washington. Talk a bit about the Super Bowl. The first member of the Infante Packers going to the Hall of Fame.
And probably last. And only.
Probably. So we'll talk about that and a whole bunch more with Paul Mickleg. Coming up, we have an information update, news, weather, and sports, and then more to come. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Sometimes when a trade happens, you can see the reasons behind it, but it still doesn't feel so good. Talking some Wisconsin sports with Paul Mickleg here on 98.9 WXCO. Bucks trade Chris Middleton, Kyle Kuzma, the big piece coming back from Washington. A couple of ways to look at it. Obviously, Chris has struggled with the ankles. Financially, it makes a lot of sense because Kuzma's deal is actually very team-friendly. But at the same time, it's hard to see him go.
Yeah, I mean, it was beginning to be, and not to be negative here, it was starting to be hard to watch him play, to be quite frank.
He got old.
I mean, he couldn't play defense. He wasn't hitting his jumpers. He was a high volume scorer. I mean, it took him a lot of shots to get to those 20 points. I don't think this is, if they weren't going to win anything with him, I'm not saying they're going to win anything this year anyways. What it does do, it opens it up a little bit for future, you know, that maybe next year they can get back on a little sooner because they were stuck with that contract. And if they didn't get rid of that, now they get below that second apron and stuff like that. So I you know, and they got the Porter Jr. and
dime a dozen guy.
But you know what? He was averaging 9 points at 45. I mean, I'm not saying he's good.
Not a game changer.
But I think Kuzma is better than Middleton. I think that was a better trade. I mean, everybody's saying like this was an awful trade.
No.
Do they know? No. I mean, and they are saying it. Most people are saying it.
No, I don't think it's an awful trade. I think that you can definitely, make a pretty good case for it. Because again, I mean, Kuzma's number is going down salary wise, and again, it gives the Bucks more flexibility.
Unfortunately, his numbers playing wise are going down.
Well,
too, but
and the thing about that though is I'm willing, because last year he averaged 22 points per game. This year it was just. For a guy like him, I think it got to the point where he didn't want to be a babysitter for those young guys while they're tanking.
Yep.
And he basically said, no, I saw an article on The Athletic about 2 weeks ago, actually. He had his best game of the year. He said, Well, no more of this. I'm going to take, and that's they traded him. Like, yep. He said, I'm not going to be just sitting back here and letting these young guys. I'm going to play my game.
Yep.
And they said, we better get rid of him. And athletically, it's a step up. He's still a very athletic player. I think the Bucks are talking about the tempo. In terms of trying to, because with Chris, obviously, you know, the tempo is not.
Everything was half court.
Exactly. So they maybe go up and down the court a little bit more. So this year has not been a good year for Kuzma, but I do think he's got a ceiling that could lift the Bucks a little bit, at least.
It gives him a better chance. Now, again, what's that chance? I don't know. And they're talking about their depth, but I mean, they really don't lose. The only thing they lost was Middleton.
Right.
And they picked up Kuzma. I mean, so I don't know exactly where the depth is. It might change a little bit. And who knows? Maybe they'll pick up Torrey Gregg again because they have a spot open, or they'll put Rollins on the roster. Not a two-way player, but a full-time guy. So there's still a little room for change yet, even though I know the trade deadline's done. But you never know. You might pick up somebody, a veteran, that could come in there and find a niche that they could do in that position. I just think overall this is going to give them a better shot. Now we should probably go back and go, hey, let's win a first-round series.
I know. I mean, again, there's such a roller coaster. I mean, before the trade, but they had lost four games in a row, and it's never come together completely. And now another significant change. What are the odds it's going to come together here? I kind of think they are kind of what they are. They're going to be a team that finishes about 46-36 and be a 4-5 team. Hopefully, get the first round and then try to use their experience against maybe a Cleveland and pull an upset. I don't know. I don't feel all that confident that this has a team that, even if they play great, that they're going to be able to go to the conference finals.
No, they're going to have to shoot well, because you know what you're going to get from Giannis. Dame's going to have to shoot well. You're going to have to get Gary Trent Jr. out there and shoot off the bench, and A.J. Green to shoot off the bench. And then you hopefully A.J. Jackson there that you can play good defense. They're going to have to put everything together, and they're going to have to win a series against like a Cleveland or a Boston, which right now is looking like not a chance. But they have to find a way to win four games, and how are they going to do it? How is that team going to be structured? I do think, though, that trade was more for these trades were for next year. That's just my opinion.
Maybe. But
we're not getting younger.
No, that's the thing. When you're talking about next year, it's like, you're kicking that can down the road, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, trying to move the money around a little bit and try to stay competitive because, again, you have the big kahuna there that's not going to go through a rebuild. We talked about this.
Yes. He wants a chance.
Exactly. So,
are you still going on that bet, though, that he's going to be gone?
I never said he's going to be gone. I said...
Didn't you look it up?
I have not looked
it up. Well, that's because you don't want to see the truth.
No. Whatever.
You said my prediction is going to be that he is gone.
I did not say he's going to be gone. I said if it continues along that route, he would be gone. Again, if
they go 0-82, Giannis is gone. I'm making that prediction right now. Okay, if they were gonna go 0, you know, great prediction there, Chad.
We will see. We will see what happens. College, MU and UW, Marquette. I don't know if you call them terrible losses, but they certainly were good losses.
This is the stretch we talked about, and what they're doing is failing it right now, quite frankly. Connecticut, they got blown out of the water from the get-go.
And despite UConn, almost 25 turnovers.
Correct. But, I mean, they were shooting the lights out.
UConn, I know, but still, 25 turnovers.
And then St. John's is a very good team. And then they got Creighton. So I mean, we talked about this, that you wanted to come in there and you wanted to get 2 out of 3, and there's a possibility they're gonna get 0 out of, they're gonna be 0-3, and they're gonna be fourth in that conference at this rate. There's just something, you know. Cam Jones is not, I mean, playing quite where he was last year, and They don't have that. They were giving up a lot of offensive rebounds against St. John's. I know I don't want to hammer that home again, but at one point it was in the second half, it was 15 offensive rebounds to one. When you're giving those teams, and I think they outscored them like 13 to nothing during that, or 12 nothing. When you give a team that many reloads, sooner or later they're going to put the ball in the hole.
You've said that you think Wisconsin's better built for a deep run of the NCAAs.
Yes.
Why?
Their experience is better than Marquette's experience overall, the depth. And they have more weapons. Chase Ross is really playing good for Marquette. But do you feel anybody else besides, you know, they only got a couple guys that you feel confident that are going to be able to score. Wisconsin, I could give you five names.
It feels like this Marquette team is like the old Wisconsin teams where you could have major droughts.
Yep.
Yes. Where on the wrong day, you could go 8 minutes without a basket.
Yep. And then and looking bad doing it too.
Right.
I thought they looked. I got to see both of those games, and I did not think they looked as smooth, and transition wasn't like it was earlier in the year when they played Purdue. It wasn't up and down, getting to the bucket. It was more half-court sets, and they were not getting to the bucket, and they weren't getting open looks off those kicks. Wisconsin, on the other hand, again, they're shooting the ball. If you shoot the ball, if you can shoot the ball and play defense, that's the one thing I don't think they're as good as defensively as they were back in the Final Four days, and they're not remotely close, but I think they're better offensively, and actually the stats would show that they are actually better offensively than they were back in those Final Four days. It's the defensive end that they got to secure a little better.
Sterling Sharp elected to the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts on that? He's a guy I remember back when I was going to high school and college, and he was a superstar. Career came to a premature end. I said it first. Lindy Infante, Packer Hall of Famer.
Lindy Infante's a Packer Hall of
Famer? No, he's the first Infante Packer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Because you talk about the Lombardi Packers going to the Hall of Fame, the Holmgren Packers going to the Hall of Fame. Now we got the Infante Packer going to the Hall of Fame because he played 4 years, all four years for Lindy, and then three for Holmgren as well.
He's probably thinking, what would I have done if I played in a – no, Lindy was fine.
Lindy had a good offense. At least in 89.
Well, let's say 1 year. The year after it wasn't so good.
Until Magic got hurt.
Yeah, and it would change the whole dimensions of everything else. I want to know when Terrell Buckley's getting into the Hall of Fame. You know –
he's in your Hall of Fame.
Well, it's 50 interceptions. The guy should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, now...
he's an accumulator. We were talking about this.
I was just about to say. They were talking about... that's why I'm a little shocked that Sterling got in. And I understand what you're saying, that at the time, he was the top two receiver of that generation, of that time frame.
Basically, his whole career, it was Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp. I mean, he never had a downward, because when he retired, he was still an all-pro.
7 years just doesn't seem – I mean, I would like to know, I guess – you probably could look it up. What is the least amount of time
– would 8 years be okay? 9 years?
No, I'm just wondering – honestly, I'm just wondering, like, what is the – somebody that's in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't Terrell Davis maybe the closest –
the lowest career. I just wonder.
I think Terrell Davis was very similar in terms of having a shortened career, where he was at the top of the food chain when he was there, but then
he won a Super Bowl,
right?
Did Sterling win a Super Bowl?
No, he did not.
Okay. Well, I know that was a rhetorical question, but...
not everybody would remember that, actually.
Yeah.
I bet you a lot of people think, oh, yeah, he's probably part of that team. No, because when he retired, there was thought, oh, boy, it's going to maybe hurt the window.
That would have been like his 12th or 13th year, right? When they won the Super Bowl, if he was still playing. How many years did Down Driver play?
He played
over 10, right?
Probably 14 or so.
I mean, and again, I agree with you what you said about that. It's about, and all Hall of Fames are different. I guess when I think of Pro Hall of Fame, and I'm not dismissing Sterling, I just thought
that Terrell Davis 7 years as well. So
So that's probably the minimum.
Probably. I don't think anybody below that, Gail Sayers, I think it was around the same. So yeah, I think that's
And exactly I will right. say is that running backs shelf line lifeline, I should say, is a little shorter than the other positions.
What about the game Sunday? Will the Chiefs make history? 3 Super Bowls in a row?
Let me ask you this, Chad. I'm going to come back with you.
No, absolutely. Ask me.
Do you care?
I don't. We had a number for the day yesterday. Americans were asked, who are you rooting for? And 49% don't care.
And I'll be honest, it's not just because it's Chiefs and did you get that right?
I did get it right yesterday.
What's your record this week?
It's 1 out of 4.
Three.
Yeah.
One out of three.
He's got it.
Don't put yourself with a loss yet today.
No, absolutely not.
It could be 2 and 3. And it wouldn't matter who the teams were, you know, because I think there is something to be said that the Chiefs are doing it with what they a three-peat. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's insane that they keep winning these one-score games. I mean, you're just rolling the dice and somehow keep advancing.
Correct. I mean, so I don't think it has, at least me personally, it has nothing to do with the games. It's just that when the Packers right. are not, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. there's nobody.
And they're not a Cinderella either. These are two teams that have been good for a long time.
Yeah.
This is not somebody that came out of nowhere. It's kind of expected.
Yes, correct. I agree. And with that being said, quickly, Eagles win.
I'm going to say the Chiefs win.
And I don't know. I don't care.
Come on. Me and Ian both said one.
Eagles.
Okay, there you go.
All right. That's a 2 against 1 here. So next week we'll make sure.
We'll be right back. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Chad.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Friday, the 7th day of February of 2025, day number 38 of this year. There are 327 days remaining in 2025. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1964, the Beatles arrived at JFK International Airport to begin their first tour of the United States. On this date in 1985, New York, New York became the official anthem of the Big Apple.
A great song.
Is that from a play or something like that? I don't even know.
I think it might be. I'm not sure if it was a part of a play first or a movie. I'm going to have to look that up later.
We have to do it as well. On this date in 1990, the Central Committee of the Soviet Communist Party agrees to give up its monopoly of power. It was the beginning of the collapse of the Soviet Union that came on this date in 1990. On this date in 2014, Jay Leno said goodbye after 22 years of hosting The Tonight Show.
It's a long time.
On this date in 2021, 4 years ago, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl as the Buccaneers defeated the Chiefs. And on this date in 2021 as well, Sarah Thomas... You know who Sarah Thomas is?
The name sounds familiar, but...
No, I think not. She became the first woman to referee a Super Bowl.
Oh.
Few famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor James Spader, Boston Legal, The Blacklist, 65 years old.
Also the voice of Ultron.
Oh, really? Actor-comedian Eddie Izzard is 63. Garth Brooks is 63. Chris Rock, 60. NBA Hall of Famer Steve Nash, 51. Ashton Kutcher, hard to believe, he's 47.
Man.
And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Special events, Ballet Day. It is Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Fettuccine Alfredo Day.
Oh, you I do love a good fettuccine Alfredo.
Girls and Women in Sports Day. And I say kudos to all the girls and women in sports.
Absolutely.
It is Periodic Table Day.
I still remember the Periodic Table of Elements. There was even a song that went with it. Boy. And oh boy, was there a lot of elements in that song.
It is Rose Day. Send a Card to a Friend Day. Patty Melt Day. And Read Aloud Day.
Nice.
All right. Everybody, get your score sheets out. Time to see if Ian can pull it out. Try to get a passing grade here today.
Moment of truth. Yes.
Number for the day. He's got 1 out of 4 so far. Needs to get today in order to get above 33%. What?
I thought it was 1 out of 3.
You're 1 out of 4 this week.
A 3. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. You're 1 out of 4 this week.
Okay, so I did have.
So you have to get today right in order to get above 33% for the week.
Yes.
All right. Do you remember what the topic is?
I remember. It was the Eiffel Tower.
It is.
A beautiful
The Eiffel landmark. Tower. All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
The number for the day. Number of months it takes to repaint the Eiffel Tower. So when they need to repaint it, it takes how many months to repaint the Eiffel Tower?
Okay. How many months to repaint the Eiffel Tower? All right. What are my choices?
Is the correct answer 14 months? Is the correct answer 20 months? Is the correct answer 26 months?
14, 20, or 26 months? Let's see. How many months does it take to paint? Well, repaint the Eiffel Tower. 14, 20, or 26 months. Whew, well, that's a long time, but the Eiffel Tower is huge. And a lot of people don't ever think this. Just, you know, I'm going to say that it takes 20 months to repaint the Eiffel Tower. I'm going with a B as my final answer, 20 months.
The number of months it takes to repaint the Eiffel Tower is 14 months.
Ooh, the shortest number.
You had the middle number yesterday. It wasn't going to be middle number back-to-back days.
Yeah, I got to stop doing that.
Oh, you just fall back on your middle number. Well,
that's a strategy I really need to get past. I need to rethink my strategies over the weekend.
All right. Well, we will bounce back next week, right?
Yes.
It just shows.
Come back swinging.
It shows. You can have the greatest week like you did last week. You can go back, and it just the way it goes. It's the old roller coaster.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, always next week.
Make sure that you are back next week. Keep it out of the snow ditches, you know?
Yes.
Have a good weekend.
You too, Chad. Happy Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend and be safe out there, especially tomorrow.
We will be back with you Monday morning, 8 till 10 a.m. Stick around. Coming up next, it's Matt and Air on Air right here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.